Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta, invites you to the Watchers Conference, scheduled to take place on 3rd November 2018 at Uma Upper Gardens in Lugogo.
20 years of Bible prophecy teaching and research compressed in one day's teaching. Come and become an expert at Bible prophecy and the end time message in just one day.
To attend the Watchers Conference, register online at ugwatchman.com or send an SMS or a WhatsApp text on our ministry lines, that's on 0780-292-555 or 0755-292-555. The Watchers Conference happening on 3rd November 2018. The Watchman, for the return of the King is much sooner than you think.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for a wonderful people that you have chosen. For you've chosen us in spite of us, and you've anointed us in spite of our weaknesses, and you've selected us for this time, and we show forth your glory. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you've birthed in us powerful things and wonderful things, that in accomplishing them, then this end time army becomes a reality by each and every one of us sitting on our thrones. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you come for a church that is reigning, not for a church that is weak, because you've spoken and said that you shall occupy until you come. Now our work is to occupy. Our work is to occupy. Our work is to occupy nations, occupy kingdoms, occupy institutions, government departments, to reign over them, to occupy business areas, to occupy ministry, in the name of Jesus, that every area of human endeavor shall be occupied by your child before your return. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are stepping into our throne, and we shall not abdicate our thrones. We shall not give them up. We shall not give them up to the forces of the enemy. We shall sit on them, and they will serve us, and they will do our bidding, even as we do your bidding. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. What does it say? It says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we are made strong. Became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I want us to see that again, because the key verse that I want actually in all of this. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we are made strong. Somebody say, out of weakness, we are made strong. Say it again. Yeah, because you see, the thing is that when you see somebody standing and doing the will of God, and you're standing aside, you might actually think that person is so strong. Yet actually, they are just as weak or almost terrified as you are. Amen? The only difference is that they actually just stand up and know that I have, like, there is, it's just a small thing that changes, something that clicks in you, and you realize that this thing is bigger than me. But I can do it. You understand? Now, you have to understand that it is out of weakness that you're made strong. These people they are talking of, these heroes of faith, he said they closed mouths of lions and all that. Do you think they were not scared, or they were not, you know, overwhelmed or things like that, the emotions that we all feel? They were. I can tell you that for a fact. But the difference is that there's something different. Like, they understood that out of weakness they can be made strong.
And they did not look at their weakness, but they looked at the strength of, you know, their God. Now, you cannot be as terrified, let's say, as Gideon, who is now mentioned there as one of the heroes of faith in that scripture I read. There is no, none of you can be as scared of what God is telling you to do as Gideon was. He was extremely terrified. And God comes and gives him his own. Okay, I'll read it again. For what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong and became valiant in battle. Now, they quenched fires, they subdued kingdoms out of weakness. Amen? Out of weakness, there is nobody who is strong. Now, when I stand and tell you that God has called me to do something which is big, and I'm going to do it, nothing is going to stop me from doing it. You see, people think that I'm talking from my natural strength. If that were the case, honest truth is I would be as terrified as anybody else. Okay? But now, you see, I've walked long enough with God to know that, you see, now this is the God who was not revealed to the time people of the past. The God who uses weak things and who cannot be stopped by anything. Amen? If he wants to do it, and I also want to do it, there is nothing in the forces of this world combined that can stop me from getting there. If I just know that God wants me there, number one, I don't do things unless they are the will of God. I have no such time. I have no time, you know, to waste now. So if I know it is the will of God, and I'm completely convinced it's the will of God, as some of you are convinced about things which you're doing. Now, regardless of how daunting the task looks, or how out of this, you know, out of this world, you know, I keep on saying that, why he could have chosen anybody else, why did he choose me? Because there's something he saw in me. Now, if he saw it in me, then who am I not to see it in myself? Amen? Is he depending on my strength to accomplish those things? So, out of weakness, they subdued kingdoms. Not out of strength, out of weakness. They were scared. Everybody, let me tell you, any one of you here, if I asked you what you really see God telling you to do, and you look at, you assess yourself where you currently are, none of you will say that I'm confident. If you say I'm confident I can do it, then you don't have the will of God. You're just looking, you're shooting near. You're not shooting as far as God wants you to shoot. You understand? Because if this thing has to spread across the world, you have to shoot far, aim far. And now the far helps you to get, to come out of yourself and believe in yourself and know there is only one way this can happen, and that is by God. So out of weakness will come what? Strength. Now, nobody can be as terrified as God, as Gideon. Gideon is there. The scripture says that the Midianites and all the people around had terrified Israel for so long that they would plant food and the Midianites come and take it away. And they did not even take it to eat it. They would come and set it on fire. They didn't even need it. So, it says that Israel was so impoverished in that time, and it was just kajogo. They did not need any of those things. They just come and set it on fire. But you see, Israel were so weak. Chapter 6, Judges. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Start from verse 3, let's say. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east, and would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children. Okay, that's not what we're interested in. right now, but let's go ahead. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the whatever, right? I'm sure if that man was still alive, you'd have a problem pronouncing Kableta. As much as I have a problem pronouncing his name. Okay. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, I want you to do that picture where you have to hide somewhere just to thresh wheat to, you know, Kusai, and then make bread out of it. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, I want you to understand, first of all, that this was Jesus. How do I know? How do I know that it was Jesus? Because later on Gideon offered a sacrifice and he received it. So when in the Old Testament, when somebody offered a sacrifice and the angel of the Lord received it, that means it was the Lord. Because angels are not allowed to receive sacrifice from men. You understand? So now clearly this was the Lord. Now, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I want you to know that this is how we are today. Because when this latest move of God started, the truth is this was the kind of church that there was. You know, this past Wednesday, the day before yesterday, some man came to me who is a man of God, clearly, but he told me he used to minister in a certain church. Then he got the revelation of grace, and then they chased him away. So he came to me and said, "Now you're the one who is going to tell me what to do, because I know you're a prophet." Okay? So, and some of you don't think I am, but I am. You see, now we have we have young kids who somebody gets a prophecy, and Drumo is calling himself a prophet, so and so. Let me tell you, you can invite on yourself things which are not yours. Like, there are levels. You don't just, even these ministries, there is a training of a prophet, then there is sitting in the ministry, in the office of a prophet. Now, if you try to get there too early, there have been consequences, by the way, but I will not get into that. You know, because people easily, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, and what? Man, there is a training you have to go through before you sit into that, some of these ministries. And I'm not saying I'm still going through it. For me, I went through it. I'm already there. Okay. Now, but you see, you want to define what kind of prophet I am. You will not. I am in the line of Daniel. Now, let's go ahead. Then the Lord turned and said, "Go in this might." Now, I want you to see that, you mighty man of valor. Then later on, then he comes with all these stories. We've suffered, we've what, we've done that. Like this man who was telling me, "Man, I have suffered. They chased me out from my church. Now I have not had a sin." He said, "Money, me and money, it's like we completely quarreled. Like there is nothing to do with money that comes to me. Absolutely nothing." And then when I'm seeing him, I'm actually seeing somebody who has a powerful calling, but who has only been in the wrong place. And therefore, who has had all this thing over him of this, nothing is working out, and, there's nothing I do that, and he's there, and he's like Gideon. We heard the Lord used to do miracles. We've heard that God prospers. But really, where is that for me? And this is it. We heard the God took people from Egypt and what, where you have stories. We heard the God who used to heal people, but now people are not getting healed. Where is that God? And now let me tell you, when we got born again, healing was just like this. Like actually, you only gave a testimony if it was HIV or something like that. Those days, people used not to get cancer. I don't know what happened. People became too aware of cancer, now they are getting it. So it was only HIV, but this one, somebody got healed. I said, "Shut up, we have no time for you. Praise God, you're healed, but we want serious things." You understand? And that's how it was back then. Now, then somewhere along the way, it died. Now you see somebody come and say, "What are you suffering from?" That's when I turn like this, I feel my... Then you see people who are just wasting the anointing. We want serious things. There's a gentleman here who those days, unless you raise it, at least we used to try to raise the dead. Okay, I can't say anyone I know came back to life. Eh? But we tried. At least we had the faith. Now, some of you, even when somebody hasn't left, when the person is still in their spirit, they're like still hovering around, when you can just say, come back, and they come back, you will fear. Like, and yet, somebody has, the spirit has just left them, and especially if they are not born again. Now, people come and tell me, my uncle, and what they... And now, some people have come to me. And then even when I try, like somebody called me in the morning and said, you know, actually called my wife and said, my uncle has just died and what? Then when I started praying, I sensed a strong resistance. Then I told her, was he born again? She said, yeah, he was born again. I said, forget about him. He doesn't want to come back. Let me tell you, there is nobody who goes there and wants to come back. Not a single person. Not one person. Who is born again? Now, when I know somebody is not born again, there I will put a miracle. Because I know they want to come back. Because it's not nice there. But if they are born again, by the way, like, to come back here and do what? Do you understand? Like, no, but now when the person, I will say, come out, call the spirit and say, come back. Until, if I know the person, was he born again? No, he was, Haji, what? I said, no, that one will come back. Now, come back. And then, like, you come back and, like, be relieved. Now, somebody told me a story of, they had this houseboy of theirs who used to mock salvation. The guy would mock salvation, anything to do with salvation and what. So one day this guy is in the room praying, and then he hears the Lord telling him that guy has died. Then he goes to the other guy's room, and he finds the guy, and the spirit had left him, and now his body was stiff like this. Now, so he just told him, come back. Then the guy came back. The guy came back, and you know, when he came back, he was shaken. Then he told him that, ninyenda kujunwa. Now, it was a Friday, so he led him to the Lord. Now, those ones, they will accept very fast. Because that world is no world of arguments. When you get there, you know where you belong. So they said, hey, are you sure you want to get... Now, this is a guy who a few minutes ago would mock anything to do with salvation. So he led him to the Lord. Now it was a Friday. The next day was a Saturday. But this guy thought it was a Sunday. So he woke up and put on his, you know, his coat. His oversized coat and what? And went to this guy and told him that, you know, aren't we going to pray? Today is Saturday. But when somebody has sampled the other side, he was not taking any chances. So he had even lost count of the days. So, praise the Lord. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Praise the Lord. Go in this might of yours. Now you see, he's still saying, I'm not mighty. The Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. Then he says, I'm not mighty. Then the Lord says, go in this might of yours. Not my might, your might. You have it. It's in you. You just didn't know it. That's why you're hiding. Now go in this might of yours. Have I not sent you? Now here is the key to overcoming weakness. Amen? To overcoming that sense of, you know, who am I to, you know, to be doing all these things. Like, how can God even have this for me? Really? Me? I mean, I mistaken identity. So where you say that, what? This must be mistaken identity. And somehow, when somebody stands up and says something they are doing, you say, man, at least them. For him, he's doing what God called him. Now me, I can't. You see? And yet, actually, God is saying, go in this might of yours. You have it. It's in you. Now, the reason I brought the example of Gideon is because it is relevant for today. Number one, exactly the way it is. But number two, you cannot be as scared as him. So regardless of how much of a coward you are, you cannot be as scared as him. And you see, some people want a gospel of teaching. So you come and get taught and get taught and get taught. And when it comes to experimenting what you've been taught, then you have an issue. Now, the gospel of being taught ended long time ago. Now it is command center. Go and do this. Amen? But you see, some of you, if you were in the days of the Israelites living Egypt, and Moses told you, go and ask your neighbors for their articles of silver and the articles of gold, some of you would stay in your house and say, I'm scared. But you see, now Moses is not going to cause them to come and bring them to you. He says, now, believe what God is saying. You believe? Now, go and tell those Egyptians, give us your gold, give us your silver. Now, there has to be an involvement from your purpose, from your side. Now, can you be more scared than somebody who has been in slavery for more than 200 years? But you see, at least they had the sense. These are people who were slaves, who were building cities, who did not have any rights whatsoever. But when Moses told them, they went purely on his word. That's it. He has said it, let's go. And they go and ask for the articles of silver and gold, and they get them. Now, there are some people who will come and listen to the word. Now, when it comes to a time of now, step out, go and do this, go and do that. Go and, accomplish this. Then that's where they have a problem. But you see, if people understood, some guy came to me and said, man, you know, final exams, I'm not going to sit exams because, you know, I don't have any money and what. So now how do you help people like that? Because I get so many of them. Eh? So I told him, hold my hand. So he held my hand and I told him, okay, now I'm seeing an uncle of yours who works in civil service. He's actually rich, he has money. But for some reason, he doesn't want to help you. He said, yes, that's true. Now, that was prophetic. Eh? Now, he said, yes, that's true. Now, I told him, now, go to him. Now, his heart has been changed. He is going to give you the money. But somehow, the guy was still scared. But God made a way for him because he was walking and he landed on his ankle. That same ankle. Now, you see where God is trying to, you know? Now, when he landed on him, guess what the uncle asked him? How far have you gone with your studies? So he said, I am not going to sit because I don't have money. He said, you come, I will give you the money. Now, the guy didn't even have any place to stay. You're staying with friends, you know those things. Eh? The uncle told him, you come and stay at my place. And the guy is not broke, the uncle. But somehow God had to touch his heart. But you see, this guy had to go there. Okay, in that case, really, God helped him so much. I think God sees you, somebody is so down, eh? That as it was with Gideon, by the way, somebody is so down, where he says, okay, let me just make it even easier for you. So you land on the guy even starts by asking you about your education. Praise the Lord. But you see now, the reason people listen to gospels and the time of coming and learning, everyone has to step out. Everybody. If to prophesy, you have to prophesy. If it's to teach, you have to teach. If it is business, you have to do business. Whatever, somebody has to stand up and go and get something done. Praise the Lord. Now, the vision you have is for the long haul. But the immediate short steps, you have to depend on the Lord for them. Amen? Short steps. And by the way, you can't do it better than God. There are certain things which, you know, somebody was telling me was a musician that... They came and told her that, you know, now if you want to be, she's a gospel musician, if you want to be very powerful, now here is what you do. Change your image, Instagram, what, do this, do that. You know, then that you have to have an activity mindset where you know what, by this time next year, I have to have how many followers on social media, I have to have this, I have to have that. You know those things, eh? And I must have produced how many songs and, you know, I must be paying radio stations. And okay, it's a very good way of doing things. Amen? But not for this anointing. So I told her, that's good from where the other person comes from. But I will tell you a better way. Eh? And the better way is by following the will of God, step by step. Amen? Like he will bring you into a place where you can never bring yourself. Do you understand? Into a place like you see somebody out there doing something and you think, I mean, they must have had it in them. And yet it is one step at a time. Now, do you know, I'll give you an example, and I didn't even want to give this. After that first September, and what the Lord told me I'm supposed to be, the first instruction he gave me was
change where you buy your trousers from. It's too cheap. Find a higher place. Can you imagine? I thought he's supposed to be telling me big things. No. Step by step. Step by step. And now now he said, okay, now we know where you're going. But the first step is this. Stop doing that. Now stop doing this. Now do this. Now do that. They look to be small, small steps. But actually, they are leading you somewhere. They are not insignificant. Eh? Because God is, to now, he's, I'll tell you, I had one time Joyce Meyer saying, and I've told this story before, but I love it so much because, you know, so she says that when God has called her, she had the vision of what God had called her to do, which is, I would think, what she's doing right now. But then at that time, she had a small Bible study with a few people, and you know, and she was faithfully teaching. And so some guy comes and tells her that, you know, I want to be your manager. I think you are a good teacher of the word. I want to be your manager. Then he told her, if you make me your manager, I'll get you engagements here. You'll be speaking into big audiences here. You'll be doing this, you'll be doing that. I'll make sure you always have speaking engagements and so on. So he laid out a plan which was so beautiful and so nice. So when he finished, he said, I'll give you an answer later. So what she did is she went home and prayed about it. Now you see, here is where so many people miss things. Eh? Because when you're about to break loose and something big is about to happen in your life, there is a way that, you know? So she went and prayed about it. Now, then she felt inside her spirit that it was not the right thing to do. But the man had been so convincing, but she felt it wasn't of God. So she felt a resistance in her spirit. And so the resistance, so she says, you know what? And anybody who has worked with God any time knows, when you feel a resistance, you know I'm not going to do it. Now, you see, we used to argue before, but now I don't. Because I hit my head on the wall so many times, I got tired. Because every time I feel a resistance and I go ahead and do it, I regret. So I learned, I will not fight it. If I feel a resistance, I will not do it. Now, so she went and told the man. Meanwhile, God does not tell you anything. So she went and told the man that, you know what? I won't take you on as my manager. It's okay, I'll be fine. The man says, do you know what? Opposite says, no, it's okay. I'm not going to take you on as my manager. So now, as soon as she had made up her mind and communicated it to the man, then the Lord speaks to her and tells her that if you had accepted that thing, it was going to mess you up. He was going to turn you into some kind of slave. You were going to be preaching at his, you know, at his behest. He was going to completely dominate you, and you would kill whatever, you know, spirit you had in you. Eh? So basically, the Lord told her how it was going to play out, and it was not going to be good. Then he told her, now here is the key thing. He told her that, don't worry, I will be your manager. Now, let me tell you, you can never do it better than God. I know that. I know it. You can never do it. You cannot find anybody who does it better than God. Can you imagine? He just wants me to buy better trousers for more expensive places as the first step. Okay, he told me other things which are so private, I can't share them with you. Eh? But I just told you that to show you that the instructions sometimes are very small. Okay? Go and make up with somebody with whom you quarreled. Now you see you have this big dream. Then the Lord says, but you know, go and make up with your former pastor where you left. Because as long as the relationship is not good, it's going to affect where you're going. Now, there's no manager who will tell you that. Is there? It's only God who knows. Go and make up with so-and-so. Go and make up with the other person. Some of you even, you impregnated some girl sometime and you've left her with a kid. So God will tell you, go and provide for that child. Now, that is the first step towards what? Towards now, you will first sort all the things that could have stood in your way. So you say, now that woman, that girl you impregnated when you were in the village, eh? Get her number and send her some mobile money, eh? And make sure she's comfortable. That is the first step. And all the ladies said, hey, because you know, eh? Because you're trying to go forward, there's somebody in the village cursing you, eh? saying that guy, he destroyed my future, he did this, at least you should do, at least let him look after the child. But you see now, God, now he will sort everything around you that would otherwise stand in the way of your progress. And then he will become your promoter. Now, as he was then, he's the one, the next step belongs to him. And the step thereafter belongs to him. Now, the reason people miss out on their destiny is they see the long thing and they want to get there immediately. No, God will tell you where you're going. To a land flowing with milk and honey. Then he says, but first, right now, first come here to the Red Sea. Eh? And then you reach the Red Sea and there is no way. Then even when you get away past the Red Sea, there is no water. You know, the bitter waters of what? Of Mara. And then what? Then step by step by step by step until eventually you get where you're going. Praise the Lord. Now, do not miss the little steps. You will get them in dreams, in advice, in what, in messages like this. Don't miss out on the small steps, because you'll miss on the big thing if you miss on the small step. So, Gideon, so the Lord tells him, go in this might of yours. Now, we know the story. We know the story, how it goes. You know, he calls people to come. 22,000 people come. Then the Lord tells him that those are too many. I cannot save Israel by all those, because they would think they are the ones who did it. Then he says, those who are scared, you are free to go home. Then 12,000 go home. He remains with 10,000. Then the Lord says that even those are too many. Then eventually he reduces them to 300. Amen? To 300. Now, when they come down to 300 people, I want us to read the scripture here, which, okay, I'll start from Judges chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, and it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. First of all, before even we get there, you remember the thing of the fleeces? Eh? You cannot be as scared as Gideon. I'm telling you, so if there is something God has put that you're supposed to do, don't let fear stop you. Go and do it even when you're scared. Amen? There are so many people who do things when they are scared. Now you see, Gideon is mentioned here of people who subdued nations by faith. But look at the man. He says, God has told him, then he says, okay, let's do this. Let's put a fleece and the water, the dew falls on the fleece and out, around it is dry. Then the dew falls on the fleece. Then he squeezes and gets a lot of water from the fleece. And says, aha, okay, that was good. But one more. Okay, now, let the dew be around, but the fleece be dry. And then the Lord honors that too. Okay? Now, God has kept on telling him, mighty man of valor, mighty man of valor, this might that you have. Now, he even puts two tests. And God does extraordinary things, and Gideon is still afraid. Eh? But you see, he has to go and deliver Israel. He has to subdue a nation. So God says, and it happened, verse 9, it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp. Now listen to this. Eh? After the fleeces, the one and two fleeces. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God still says, this guy, okay, let me give him another confirmation. He says, but if you are afraid, now remember, God told the people, any of you who is afraid, go home. But even the commander is afraid. So there is nobody who is going to accomplish anything when you feel. If you feel you have it in you, then actually that is pride. There has to be a sense of trepidation of, can I handle this? But I have God. I have sent, you know, that sort of thing. Eh? Now, you come in that confidence of out of weakness, they became strong eh? And subdued kingdoms out of weakness. So he says, but if you are afraid, now I would think Gideon would say, no, Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm on top of this. Eh? He says, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now you see, God telling him, first go and listen to what your enemies are saying about you. Do you understand? So you think you can't be that big person until the person who is that big person is scared of you. You see? Me? So, do you know that so many times you can actually get your true value from what your enemies say about you? Eh? Eh. That's how you know what you are. I mean, what your enemy. Now listen to what happened to this guy here. Go ahead. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, think about that, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Gideon has 300 men. 300. Now, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Think about that. An army that covers a vast area, and Gideon has his 300. Okay? Now, when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Keep it there. Now, you think about that. How can a loaf of bread? You imagine a loaf of bread. Now, bread is the one thing which even is weighs much smaller than it, you know, than it appears. So it's already, you know, expanded. And it's actually bread, a loaf of barley bread. Now, then the picturism of a loaf of barley bread coming down, and then a tent. A tent is pinned into the ground. Then a loaf of bread bundles over a tent, and the tent falls. Now think about that in terms of dream significance and the picturism. Loaf of barley bread, as you know, what as it is, bringing down a tent which is, you know, hammered in the ground. Okay, and the tent collapsed. Go ahead. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel." Can you imagine? Now, into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Now, this is what the enemies are saying about. Now, Gideon is afraid. But God has already projected what he wants the enemies to think about him on the enemies. Do you understand? That they are saying, Gideon, but a loaf of bread hit the tent. I know this is Gideon. We are finished. Can you imagine? Now, the people of whom you're scared, God has already put something in their minds that you might see be like bread, but you want to bring down their tents. And like you might seem insignificant, but when God has projected, and you see, God is the master of this. He makes somebody who has nothing, who in the natural should be confident, to be scared of you. And the person looks at you and is scared, and that fear comes from the Lord. Okay? And the Lord projects it on them because you have come for their place. You understand? And you're going to take what they have. So, and it is the Lord who somehow makes you look powerful, very big, like as if you're such a powerful person. And the other day when we were, I was telling you here how they were saying, how the other minister guy was saying, but Kabuleta, Kabuleta. Now, even as I did Jezebel, somebody who knows her very well said, but Mama hates Kabuleta. Kabuleta. That you guys, Kabuleta. Can you imagine? Somebody is up there, and me, I'm here. But a loaf of bread is going to tumble over a tent. Now, let me tell you, that is true for every one of you here. Somebody is there scared of you. And you say, can you imagine somebody like that, who seems to have so many things at her command and what she can say, this one dies and that. Except me. Now, then, actually, somebody told me, like, he met an OP of his who works for her. I said, you people, Kabuleta. That she hates Kabuleta. Because I wrote some article which blasted her. But you see, the loaf of bread. Praise the Lord. A loaf of bread tumbling over a tent, and people are ready to be tumbled over. Now, these are the very guys who are lying to go and attack Israel, because Gideon led Israel to rebel against them. Then they are saying themselves, this is nothing but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. So in other words, we are finished. This man has come to take us over. Now, when Gideon, look at this. And so it was when Gideon had the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Because, now imagine, now I just love God. Because when he does things like this, then you know that I was scared. Okay, how did I get here? How did I even end up here? The first time I got this dream, I was scared to death. But somehow I'm seated on this throne. Amen? And out of weakness, I have subdued kingdoms. Glory to God. And I'm like Gideon. So, then he rose now confidently. Before even the commander is scared, everybody is scared. Who wouldn't be scared when you are 300 people against an army that is of the whole east and is like the sand on the seashore? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So now this is the days of that happening. So out of weakness, you are going to tumble kingdoms. Out of weakness, not out of strength. You don't, like, God, can you be more scared than Gideon? Actually, I read that story and said, I don't think I can be as bad off as Gideon. But the man subdued all those people and reigned over Israel. So what will stop me? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, what can stop you? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can stop you. God projects people and makes them scared of you, when for you think you're nothing. But yet actually people are there running scared about you, planning for you, plotting for you. And you say, me? And you don't know God has already messed up their minds and they are seeing your potential. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know something? Isaiah chapter 40, verse, I think start from 29. He gives power to the weak. Say, gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Glory to God. Now, how do you keep yourself in this area where, let me tell you, the reason people get out of faith and into fear is because they're actually not spending time with God. You see the symbolism of an ego? The symbolism of an ego. An ego is a unique bird because there is no bird that can fly higher than it. Eagles have been seen as far as 9,000 feet above sea level. Now, you never see an eagle fighting with a marabou stork, okay? Or with a crow with any other bird. Because how do they fight when they would have fought? They just go higher, higher. Now, they get to a certain area where none of the other birds can survive. Now, they just, eagles up 9,000 feet above sea level. Eagles are flying there. Not any other bird, no other bird can come close. None of them can even come close, perhaps even halfway. So, now, an eagle knows how to just soar higher. When it would have fought with other birds, no, it doesn't have that time. It goes higher. Then when they seem to chase it, higher, 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 until the other birds can no longer breathe and they stay where they are at their level, you understand? Eh? And the ego soars higher. Now the scripture says those who wait upon the Lord will be like that, where the only way that those people who are scared of you can actually tame you and bring you to their level, can defeat you, is by bringing you to their level. Like they bring you to an arena where you're at par and you forget you're an ego. You understand? Leave them there, just soar higher. If they go higher, higher, until you look at them and say, muedeo. And they can no longer come. Now, so this is how those who wait upon them. Now, these things, when you get into doubt about who you are, what God has called you to do, whether you can do it and what, you just know that there is a deficiency of being in the presence of God. When you spend time with God, you see things which in the natural nobody, you have absolutely no right to even think about them. You understand? But you're up there seeing things and you're there. Now somebody tries to bring you down and say, but who do you think you are? Eh? Eh? How can you be the president of this country? You stay with your arguments where you are. Eh? Me, I've gone higher. Like an ego, praise the Lord. Eh? And I'll go there and be there where there are no arguments, and in a world which is surreal, and which you actually have no idea about what's going on. Now, you see, you have to understand that every time you spend time with the Lord, eh? And by spending time with the Lord, I don't mean the religious prayers and what. Eh? Because then you can pray in tongues and there's a whole religiosity about it. But then it can be a communication. You understand? Eh? It can be an intimate communication, even in tongues. And there's a way the Lord impresses his opinion of you on you. Eh? And you start thinking that there's nothing I can't do. Because now God is there influencing your opinion of yourself and is there messing you up. Now, when you come out of that place and listen to people saying you can't do it, you just look at them and say, do you really know what? Do you have any idea what you're saying? Eh? Because somehow you've been convinced. Eh? Convinced. Now, when you spend more time with the people, you actually lose the version of God. And you also be like Gideon in what? You know, in a wine press. Eh? Hiding away from the Midianites. Then God says, go in this might of yours. My might? Me? Me, I'm the least tribe, I'm the least person, I'm the least what, I'm not this. Go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours. Now, God comes and camps around Gideon until he convinces Gideon that he can do something powerful. Praise the Lord. Now, when you spend time with, and by spending time with the Lord, let me tell you, the reason people struggle even, let's say, to pray, is because they try to compartmentalize their prayer time. Okay? I pray at this time, I pray at this. Okay, you can do that, but let me tell you the truth. You will do more praying when you use your free time. You're standing in a queue at a bank, you're praying in tongues under your what? You're in the traffic, you're praying in tongues. You're doing whatever it is you're doing, you're praying in tongues. You're in the gym on a treadmill, you're praying in tongues. You're doing anything, you understand? Eh? Now, when you do that, actually, you find that even if you go home when you're tired and you don't sleep and you don't pray, you've already prayed yourself through the day. And throughout the day, you've kept yourself in that. And actually, if you combine the hours, you'd say, at night, I pray between midnight and 3. But actually, you can get the 3 hours in the day. When you're alone in office, when you're doing this, when it's lunchtime, when you're doing what. You know, when you have all the free time you have. Eh? Now, if you learn how to use that time, even like you'll go home tired and sleep, but you've been praying the whole day, and you wake up in the morning, and you're praying. When you're in the shower, you're praying. When you're making your coffee, you're praying. When you're cooking, you're praying. When you're driving, you're praying. You understand, eh? Yeah. Now, you know, I love, like, there was a time I was in Mbali, and some guy asked me for a lift. And me, I like praying when I'm driving. Eh? So even when I'm going up country, I don't want to go with anybody. Because for me, I'm going to be there worshiping and praying and what. Eh? And somebody would think I'm weird. Eh? So I tell them. So, like, do you know the amount of time you take from home? Like for you, those of you who drive, even in a taxi. If you actually spend that time and just meditate and prayed under your breath inside you and prayed. Like you realize that, let me give you an example. If you're married and you told your wife that our time for communicating is between 7:30 when I arrive home and 9:30. After 9:30, I don't want to know. Eh? So you're driving in the car together to go to work. It's not yet your time for communicating. Would that be a healthy relationship? Eh. So don't try it with God. Use your free, there's a lot of free time. There's jam. Now, like when you are coming here, you probably spent minimum 30 minutes, right? Now that is 30 minutes of praying in tongues. When you're going back, okay, there will be less jam. When you're sitting somewhere, when you're talking with people, it's okay. But there is a lot of free time. You're waiting for somebody in the office. Somebody, enter somebody's office. Eh? Wait for us there. You're waiting in a bank. You're waiting somewhere. Now, if you learn how to use those moments, eh, and just meditate on God and thank Him and be, you know, like you get to the evening, even if you actually go to your compartmentalized time, eh? It would be sweeter because you've been with Him the whole day. True? Eh? Now, those people who have been, now imagine somebody who says, our time is 7:30. I'm back to husband and wife, 7:30. Now, then there's this one who every joke he sees, he sends to his wife. Then they exchange, then they what, then what, you know? So now even when they get to talk, it's not artificial. Eh? It's better because they have been together all day, more or less. Eh? Even if they were apart. She works here, he works here. But, you know, he sees this, he sends her, he does this, what, you know? Sometimes he calls a minute, what, you know, this is small, small things, eh? Which ladies love. Eh? Have you had lunch, what? Okay, some of us struggle to, okay. Men struggle to do those things, eh? But they are powerful, eh? Eh? Very powerful, eh? Eh? And I think God put these things so that to teach us how to relate with Him, eh? Because now, so do you see how when you've been like that for 1 month, eh? And you're somehow in the presence of God, there is nobody who can convince you that you can't do that thing. There is nobody. I'm telling you the truth. Because you've been more with Him than with anybody. Amen? So you mount up with wings like an eagle. Eh? Those who wait upon the Lord. Now, you see, waiting upon the Lord, people think, like, you can never, ever have a proper relationship when it is based on highs and lows. So you go and fast 3 days, and then you come back, and somehow you never have time to be with the Lord for the next 3 weeks. Very little progress made. Now, someone who didn't even fast, who was eating 3 or 4 meals a day, but was constantly in the presence, eh? Actually gets a lot more. True? Gets a lot more because they stay around the consciousness of God. And He's constantly influencing them and telling them that, no, 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 go in that might of yours. Me? Yes, you. Go in that might of yours. You are capable of doing it. You can do it. These people are scared of you. You go and listen to their dreams. Eh? Then you go and you hear somebody say, but that carburetor, eh? They just say, ah, they are finished. Amen? Hey, glory to God. So somebody is ready to stand in their throne. Eh? Who is ready to sit on their throne? Hallelujah. Say, I am ready to sit on my throne. Nobody will sit on it but me. God has designated it for me. And only me will sit on it. And nothing will stop me from sitting on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now say, out of weakness, I subdue kingdoms. I subdue companies. I subdue empires. I subdue departments. Businesses. In the name of Jesus. Out of weakness comes strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta, invites you to the Watchers Conference, scheduled to take place on 3rd November 2018 at Uma Upper Gardens in Lugogo.
20 years of Bible prophecy teaching and research compressed in one day's teaching. Come and become an expert at Bible prophecy and the end time message in just one day.
To attend the Watchers Conference, register online at ugwatchman.com or send an SMS or a WhatsApp text on our ministry lines, that's on 0780-292-555 or 0755-292-555. The Watchers Conference happening on 3rd November 2018. The Watchman, for the return of the King is much sooner than you think.
Tune in next Wednesday. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at UG Watchman. Instagram, @_Watchman256. For an appointment with The Watchman, please contact us on email, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, or on our lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, because the King is coming.